Stephen Jill here.
How the heck are you?
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to choose a county to send mail. We're kicking it all the way straight back to the most basic stuff this week.
Like episode 4.
Yeah.
So 914 might sound like episode 004. Just kidding.
This whole week. What's funny about that is that when we started doing the show in 2015, how to choose a county was different.
Oh. Yeah, we didn't have the tools and the resources and the
data and the information and stuff.
And the staff and the help.
Yeah. And the practice.
And the bills.
And 3 years of feedback. From our members.
And the bank accounts. It's got a lot better.
Before we get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Ellis asks, hi guys, another quick question. I'm still a bit skittish, maybe pushing perfectionist, when it comes to sending mail. I was inches away from mailing a county. Sounds like finger hovering over the button. Recent completed sales are decent. Days on market, not too long, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is good about it. Then I took a quick moment to visually peruse the area in Google Earth and noticed it's completely riddled with oil pads and rigs.
Here in New Mexico.
Should I run away from oil rigs? Intuitively, it seems to me the oil pads would negatively affect value, yet the county meets basically every other criteria that matters. Have any of you guys had success in and around oil rigs? Should I be turned off by them?
You should be turned off by them. And yes, we have purchased property that has an existing oil rig on it and with a lease in place, and they're usually very, very low revenue, like $500 a year. And all it is really complicating what we do. So I've never had any interest in oil and gas or any of that stuff. It's a whole separate industry. Mineral rights is a completely separate deal versus surface rights, which is what we buy.
Right.
So, no.
For me, I took it at just like even old school, like who would be your customer? Yes, yeah. I want to live out there. I like watching that thing go up and down. It's very therapeutic. Could you imagine? That's where I want to be.
My whole goal in life.
I can hang my laundry on it.
Is to live 20 yards from an oil rig. I don't think that niche exists. I think of all the reasons that we get sell property to people. Like, we literally have a database full of people who want to buy property without access because they want to be lost like that.
It's true.
Never have
this
I.
This is not one of them.
I want to live in an industrial center.
You know, my kids love to go play on the oil rigs.
You know, if you're bored on this topic, you know that the city of Los Angeles has like a bajillion oil rigs right in little neighborhoods.
It's really weird.
Going up and down. So if you, if you're bored one day, go on Google and type in functioning oil rigs in the city of Los Angeles, and you'll just crack up.
It's like you can have a beautiful view off a bluff, but right next, halfway down the bluff are these rigs and like.
Like a really nice neighborhood in Bel Air.
Yeah.
And you'll see an oil rig like between two mini mansions.
It's hilarious.
It's some classic stuff.
Yeah.
Now, that's my opinion. People in our group seek the stuff out and they do great with it. One group specifically in New Mexico that I know that they buy these properties all the time. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's just a little off. Like, I can buy these properties for $8,000. It's got a functioning oil rig with a lease from a name brand oil company.
Right.
And, you know, that's what they do.
Whole different thing.
Yeah.
It's true.
I think it complicates it. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I don't want to do that much work.
That's what it is. It's a lot of extra work.
To
do a real estate deal.
It.
Jill, you nailed it. Shucks. Actually, your reason is better than mine.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
Yeah, do I really want to get involved in that?
I want to do easy deals. Easy, profitable, fast deals.
No, right. And more of them.
Today's topic, how to choose a county where to send the mail. This is the meat of the show. You know, right before the show, we have a new producer, a show producer, came in. He's a young guy, and he came in and said, "You're doing a bunch of stuff wrong."
Please give me the list.
Jill,
yeah, I know.
You know, not a lot of people that work for us come to us and sit us down and say, you're doing a lot of stuff wrong.
Not a lot of people listen to the show.
So in this kid's case, Jill has a very close friend who's a film producer. She won an Emmy. And so she gets this parade of film student interns, and this guy struck a chord with both of us. So we hired him full time when Jill's friend was done, their internship thing was done, and he graduated. And so he's just fresh out of film school, and he produces all this stuff. And I've been producing it for years myself, and you know, thank God it's over. Hmm. But he had a lot of good things to say.
Good.
Like, move your mic around, stop, basically, don't
Is mine
be,
okay?
Don't be yourself.
Don't be yourself.
It's a bunch of stuff that probably won't make any difference to the viewer / listener, but it was fun.
Am I set up appropriately?
Yeah, he didn't say anything about you, and he didn't call a meeting with you. That's what I think is funny.
Oh.
Can you imagine if the people who complete our real estate deals, our transaction coordinators here, came and sat us down and said, you know, I think you guys are doing a bunch of stuff wrong in these real estate deals. Man, that wouldn't go well. Our members doing it's fine. You know, member Joe Martin's, we're changing all kinds of stuff because of the things that he's telling us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's hilarious. I looked at this topic, by the way, and I have a question. So if you want to, I can go either way. I can interview you by asking you questions.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Sure.
So here's my first question on choosing a county. Why do people get hung up here?
I don't know, Jill. It's a very natural thing for me to choose where to send mail. And for the people in the advanced group, never had got hung up on this. I think it's not actually being hung up on the topic. I think you can file it under, I just have first, you know, I have newbie jitters.
Well, what do you think, like even the person that asked the question a minute ago, so they're about to push the button, now they found an issue, now they're like, oh, shucks. So do you think it's going to make them more hesitant going forward again?
People get hung up on this because they think that there's this formula. You know, because in Land Academy 1.0, probably by the time this airs, it'll be released, if not within days of that. They think that it's got to be this, fill in the equation, there's a mathematical thing, and then there's going to be success. And that's just not how it works. And if you're choosing a county to send mail in, it means you're probably looking to buy rural vacant land. If you're looking to purchase infill lots to be built on, that's a whole different thing. Then you're going to do it by zip code. And there's going to be lots of zip codes. So if you remember, that's what Land Academy 2.0 is, which is all released and done, and it's getting rave reviews. 1.0, rural vacant land. 2.0, infill lots to be built on. And 3.0, in the end, will probably be something like commercial real estate or subdividable massive properties, ranch-type properties. But anyway, I'm not sure. But they're very different approaches, all three, on how you buy them and how you analyze the data and get it to the point where you want to send some mail out. This is about rural vacant land. Cool. People get hung up because they're afraid that they're going to miss something.
Okay.
And screw up the mailer. And you know what? That's what you are going to screw it up.
Right.
That's the problem. The problem is that you don't know you're going to screw it up, and you're just hoping and then think that it's going to be right the first time, and it's probably not.
Exactly. Well, that ties into my second question, too. What would you share as the biggest mistake that new people doing this make?
Pricing. Mm. I've never heard somebody say, you know, sometimes people come to us and they say, you know what, this first mailer, this is very infrequent. But once in a while, somebody will contact me and say, I made this mistake on this mailer. And it's never, oh, I shouldn't have mailed this county. It's never that, never. I've never heard one person say that. What I've heard them say is pricing. I priced it too high, or I priced it too low, and I didn't get any response. So that's not what this is about, this episode. How to price a mailer is like tomorrow.
Cool. Yes. How about, what do you think as a new person starting this and choosing a county, how much time do you think they need to spend to get good at it?
Hours and hours and hours. My first mailer out, if I was starting out now, I would be on countywise.com, which is a site that Jill and I released. It's all free. And on something probably like realtor.com, not like realtor.com, on realtor.com, going through the motions of what I talk about in 1.0. And let me just get into it. If you're the kind of person who takes notes during these episodes, this is a good note-taking show for you. Before you even start looking at geography on where to send a mailer, you have to get this in your head, and it needs to stay there throughout your career until you send out your last mailer, which I hope is never. I hope you do it forever. You're trying to buy rural vacant real estate for between 25 and 45% of its retail value, not wholesale, retail. That is the starting point. That is where you start the race. Not demographics, not back tax property, not access, none of it. Those things are all important. You have to keep money straight in your mind all the time, because if you don't, you're going to start paying too much for property. And Jill and I are seeing this a little bit when we get deal funding submissions off of landinvestors.com, where people are submitting very, really good real estate.
They are.
But it's just they sent the mailer out for way too much
high.
Money. 25 to 45% of what it's worth. So once you got that, then there is a three-step process to picking a county. Number one, find a place where people want to buy real estate. I know this sounds crazy. I know it sounds like Captain Obvious, but do people want to buy real estate that's just outside of town where they can take their family and go to a lake? Yeah, mm-hmm. Where it's one-tenth of the price. There's neighborhoods, little areas all over Los Angeles where it's like literally one-tenth of the price to buy a piece of real estate than the Los Angeles itself.
Right.
So that's a place people want to buy real estate. Do you want to buy real estate there?
Right.
That's a good test. It needs to be a proximity to a large county, a large city, excuse me. For convenience on county-wise, I put a demographic density map where you can see, the darker green it is, the county in general, means that there's less population and stuff tends to be cheaper where there's fewer people. So use that test. Outside of Manhattan, New York, you can go about an hour north and start buying some crazy cheap properties. Am I saying you should run out in those two counties and do it? No. No. Outside of Des Moines, Iowa, there's probably cheap real estate too. Not farmland, recreation land. So it's not going to take long for you to find, I'm sure wherever you are, there's multiple vacation spots. And am I saying just vacation spots? No. Just places that are way, way, way cheaper than what people... You want them to be shocked at the price. People know how much real estate is where they live. And then when they find out it's one-tenth of the price, 2 hours away, that's a good thing.
Thanks for doing this show, by the way. I'm over here. I'm just
kidding. Number two. Now you've got an idea, let's say, outside of Los Angeles or in Manhattan, New York, or whatever. Even like Detroit and Chicago, upstate Michigan or in Wisconsin, there's 2 hours away, super cheap places. Go there on realtor.com. We're in number two now, and start pricing houses and land for not the for sale stuff, not completed sales, for sale. Completed sales and comps, that's all 1971. We have so much data right at the fingertips for free now. Completed sales just don't matter anymore. When people say, what about the comps, man? I know exactly how old they are. Mm-hmm. Younger people only look at what's listed for sale because the sale prices and the closed prices are almost the same in every market. So establish some consistency on realtor.com and find not for land, for houses, and see that it's relatively consistent. The last thing you want is these huge varying prices because it's impossible when you're new to correctly price your mailer. So look for consistency. Test it for a reason. Are there too many properties for sale? If you go to Detroit on realtor.com right now, you'll see thousands and thousands and thousands of properties for sale. Do you want to get in that mess? No. You want to find a place where there's not too much stuff for sale, but there's not nothing for sale. So you want to be at the top of that bell curve.
Not nothing. You need to know how to price it. Still,
there needs to be enough data so you can price it.
Exactly.
Exactly, Jill. Again, you should be shocked at how cheap it is based on the urban area. And then the final step is to test it for reason. Does it make sense if I buy a piece of like 4 acres outside of XYZ urban area, 2 hours north, let's say, for a few thousand dollars that I can sell it for $8,000 or $12,000? Are there a lot of properties for sale for $12,000? If there are, then you better be buying it for two or three. This isn't about pricing. This is about testing it for reason. And then on top of that, this is number three now. Built into number three, check the volume of back tax properties. If there's tons and tons and tons, this is all in county-wise, of back tax properties available, that generally is not a good idea to, again, do you want to get in that soup? No. That's an indication of a super problematic inner city situation or a paper subdivision situation, usually out west, where there's so many properties in a county like Mojave County, Arizona, you don't want to play there. Now, that said, Jill and I have made hordes of money in these situations. I'm just saying it's not for the new people.
Thank you.
So that's the three-step process. I can't overstate this enough. It just needs to make sense to you.
It does.
Some of the most successful members in our group have taken the information that I've just shared with you and twisted it to make it their own version of it. And they're printing money.
Right. I'd like to add one thing that we don't tell you too is it doesn't matter where it is. There's no secret county. There's no special place. If anyone says a secret county, let them have it. Go somewhere else. Because now you know how to choose a county. And that's what is going on in our community and with our members and our world. And they are hitting areas that we've never heard of and are killing it.
This, people ask me all the time, where doesn't this work or where does this work?
Right.
It works in every single county. There's 3,144 county parishes in this country. It works in every single one. What will make or break your career in this is pricing. You can't price Manhattan, New York at $500 an acre. Right. You're wasting your time. You're going to upset a lot of people, and you're going to frustrate yourself and waste money.
Exactly.
But in lots of places in Nevada and Arizona, $500 an acre is way too much. You know,
they're
in fact, most counties I would not pay. I'm sure Jill's more conservative than I am when it comes to pricing.
I kind of am.
I greenlight stuff sometimes that we get in, and she's like, nope. It used to be the other way.
Isn't that funny? That's very true. The role, it's changed a little bit. That's really funny. That's good.
Well, you spent another 20 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the show, How to Price a Mailer.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Oh, I forgot what that felt like. It's kind of nice. There's a lot of our shows, it's like 50-50. And then there's shows that we do that's like all me, that I'm doing all the talking. And this show was definitely all you. That was a nice little break. I hope this week goes the same way.
I think I made myself perspire. I talked so much.
That was a lot. That was really good. I love it. Wherever you are listening or watching, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property. All right, the producer told me to like chill out at the end. Oh. Don't race to turn it off. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to chill out, man.
Oh, got it.
Daniel, this is your
edit. This is for you.